Welcome to Healing. I'm going to be here for the next 3 weeks. And Healing is Healing class, Healing school. I started this at AWM, at Andrew Womack Ministries, way back when. Did you know that?
Yes.
And it kind of, you know, everything, it was the heart of everybody to kind of take off from there. I'm not saying this to blow my own horn, but it's a part of the transition that needs to happen in ministries and in churches. And so for healing, and the area of healing and living in divine health, it is important that healing be taught and incorporated into church. Now, we can't do this all the time from the pulpit, but this class or healing school has been offered since before we officially started the church. And I want to tell you all that we have seen incredible, magnificent, awesome, tremendous healings in this body of people, everything from all kinds of cancers to diabetes, new pancreases, kidneys replaced. We've seen the Lord do tremendous, tremendous, miraculous things in people's bodies for years. So here's my comment to you all this morning. I want you to be expecting, if you're here for healing, I want you to be expecting your body to change. Without any other thought, I want you to be expecting your bodies to change. I want you to be anticipating healing and wholeness in your body. And you know what? Don't think about anything else. It's just today it's mine. It's mine. And healing is not elusive. Healing is real. Healing is now, and healing is for you. All right? Okay, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, today, Lord, we glorify you and the truth of your word and the reality of who you are, Jesus, that your life is in us, your presence is here, and we're going to gain knowledge and revelation of who you are today. We expect, say this with me, we expect to receive healing today. I'm not waiting anymore. Because healing is mine right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. Does anybody, first off, have any questions about healing you want to start with? Because I'm going to, the name of this series that I'm going to do in here is called Heart Attacks. Heart Attacks. Mary, what are you grinning for?
Heart Attacks.
You tickle me. Heart Attacks. Anybody have any questions you want to start with first? Anything, I mean, dogging you. Anything, I just kind of beating you up on your mind and understanding healing. Yes, ma'am. Judy.
Yeah. I think it's strange that I had a stroke 3 years prior, and then this beginning of this year, I had a heart attack and a stroke. And so I think that's kind of strange. It came out of nowhere.
And okay. What's your question?
The question is, how come?
Why did you have a heart attack? Why did you have a stroke? Why did you have a heart attack and stroke right after? Why did that all happen? Okay, good question. Anybody have an answer? It's been sitting and healing for a long time. Anybody? Or I'll answer it. Ron, you got it?
We're in a fallen world.
Yep.
And as we get older, our bodies are going to wear out. And we have an enemy because he'll kill, steal, and destroy. So we have to, so we're going to have results of what we eat and all this stuff all plays a factor in it.
Okay. Here's my answer. So, and I'm going to go along with part of what Ronnie said. When sin entered the world through the devil, right? And what he did with Adam and Eve way back in Genesis, 6,000 years ago. Sin entered the world, and sin, the effects of sin, brought in the degradation and the corruption to the world. It brought death to us. We were meant to live forever. I mean, originally in the Garden of Eden, with what the Lord had set up for Adam and Eve. Now, sin has come in, and what the Lord said to Adam and Eve, if you eat the fruit of the tree, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually, and you're going to die physically. It's going to happen. Death has come in. And all the aspects of death and what the devil had intended through sin came in with death. Sickness and disease and malfunction in the body came in. Because we're older doesn't mean we have to live unhealthy. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean our bodies have to fall apart. Doesn't mean that. Those of us that understand and know what Jesus provided on the cross, through the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, those of us that know that, that this is in God's gift of his grace to us, the salvation that we received, and I'm not going to go into all the Greek right now, what we have is full health. Amen. If we can believe it. Mm-hmm. Which leads me to the title of this series called Heart Attacks. Because we're all subject to heart attacks. I want to use this for an analogy. Those have, you know, there's, I know a number of people who have had physical heart attacks. And what has happened in most of the time is that their hearts quit receiving the blood flow that they need. They get, you know, the arteries and the veins get plugged up. There gets to be a blockage. It cuts the flow to the heart, the physical heart, and thus starves the muscle of the heart, and they have a heart attack. Now, sometimes those can lead to death, I mean physical death, and sometimes those lead to a wake-up call. Can we get an amen? Heart attacks, physical heart attacks, a lot of times take lives. That's what they do. And for most people who live through a heart attack, it takes some form of surgery to help them get well, right? Now, we're all kind of familiar with this and how this works. Stents and vascular replacement and what's the other? The Roto-Rooter that they run through your arteries and veins, right? Okay. We have spiritual hearts. And this is where I'm going, that have blockages in them that are stifling, starving, and blocking your heart, your spiritual heart, from working correctly to receive healing. This is how this works. This is what's going on. So we're going to disconnect through this series over these 3 weeks. We're going to disconnect purposefully your heart from those faulty areas, those blockages that have been in your life that have kept your spiritual heart from flourishing so you can receive healing. Now, is healing already provided?
Yep.
How do you know that?
The Bible says so.
Yeah. Where?
1 Peter 2:24.
Which says,
by his stripes we were healed.
By his stripes we were healed. That means, and that's just that example alone, and there's many, many, many examples in this, in the Word. That's why I ask you where, because that needs to get in here and get in here in your heart. Because your heart, and I'm going to say this for all of us, okay? I even have some areas in my heart that still have some blocks. Now, we're going to work through this and understand how to deal with those blocks in this series. Is everybody receiving perfectly? We're all receiving perfectly. Everything that God has promised. We're receiving our healings perfectly. Is there everybody? Everybody?
No.
Who is not? Okay. That means you've got some blockages to your spiritual heart. So that's what we're going to purpose to do, is go through this today and unplug, open up, do some heart surgery that allows those passages to open up so that you can just receive. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is by the belief of the heart that our healings take place, not our heads. Do you understand that? Everybody understand that? Our head does not dictate how we receive. It is our heart. It is not our head. We can have a full head. I can tell you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I've got, because I've taught healing for a very long time. And I can give you countless scriptures that have to do with healing. God's word says, God says, and he always backs his word up because he's faithful, right? Always. Never lets us down. He's always faithful. He never, ever, ever fails. But for all those scriptures that I have in my knowledge, how much of that is really in my heart, my spiritual heart? Not my physical heart, but my spiritual heart. When it gets to my spiritual heart is when I begin to believe, and then the miracles, the manifestations, the reality of healing takes place. That's it. See, it's not God's fault that we're not receiving healing. It's our fault. Even though we don't mean it to be like that, it's the blockages in our spiritual heart that cut off the flow of the reality of the word to us, so we have a hard time seeing the manifestation. That's all. Now, this is simple stuff, right? Right?
Yeah.
Mary? Right?
I see it now, but before I thought you were crazy, but when you said it.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Go to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. I want to reinforce this as before I really get into the Roto-Rooter jobs that we're going to do in our spiritual hearts. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Who'd like to read that? And read it loud. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. We there? Mary, you want to read it?
Yeah.
Let me hear it from the back so it goes on the recording.
Okay. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Okay. Let's break this up. Break this down now. Being saved and salvation are two different Greek words, sozo and soteria. They both stand for the same thing. They both have the same meanings, and that is saved, sozo, equals prosperity, preservation, deliverance, and healing. If you believe, if you confess with your mouth Jesus and his lordship in your life, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe it in your heart, Jesus' lordship, you will be healed.
Amen.
The key is believing in your heart. Okay, number two, for with the heart, with the mouth, confession is made to righteousness or unto righteousness, and with the mouth, you know what, I'm getting all mixed up here. With the mouth we confess to salvation and the heart believes into righteousness. So, with the heart we believe. Now, here's the caveat in this. We know that the heart is at the crux of receiving healing. The heart is the main focal point. Period. The heart So if we know that, we understand that, I want you to picture this. Our spiritual hearts have a mind of their own. You understand what I mean? They got a mind of their own, right? You can believe something in your head and you confess with your mouth salvation, and I can confess the word over and over. I can do it 1,000 times. But it is the belief of my heart, which has a mind of its own in a sense. Okay? Don't take this literally, but this is to help you get the picture. Our hearts have a mind of their own. It is with the heart we believe, and that results in salvation or soteria, which is healing. So if you look at it with the heart having a mind of its own, we must, this is up to us, convince our hearts of the truth. Are you talking to your heart? Are you looking at your heart as its own personality in a sense? Are you speaking to your heart the truth and convincing your heart? You don't have to convince your head. You read the word and you say, I'm convinced, right? I'm convinced. Jesus is Lord. Healing is done. By his stripes I was healed. And yet it doesn't happen because my heart's not convinced. Because my heart has a mind of its own. Because it's blocked. It has a blockage and it needs heart surgery. And your heart, this is why I'm laying all this out, because this is the foundation. Your heart attacks you. That's what happens. Our hearts are attacking us. So we're going through heart attacks. That's why we're not receiving our healings. Okay? So remember, hearts have a mind of their own, so to speak, and must be convinced of the truth of the word in itself. Otherwise, we're subject to heart attacks that block the word and block God's grace to us and keep us from receiving. This is why when we believe in our hearts, we receive salvation, because it's so easy. There's no visible, we're not looking for a visible manifestation, are we? Are we? When you get born again, are you looking for a visible manifestation, or you just believe the word as much as you can, right? And what you know. Well, with healing, once we understand the healing is done, and we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that we're healed, we're right now, we're looking for a manifestation, right? Right now, right now, right now. And then we go, oh, pff, it's not happening. It's not, this doesn't work. I can't, you know, and then it's, I can't receive. And on and on and on, all the excuses. And what happened is he had a heart attack. That's the bottom line. Your spiritual heart had a heart attack because you're looking for a visible manifestation upon receiving the word of God based on the head knowledge you have that says, I'm healed according to the word. When I was saved, or I received salvation, I was healed. And that visible manifestation, you don't see it immediately, and so you go, it can't be. You had a heart attack because your heart is not convinced that it's true. That's all. That's all this is. We're going to convince our hearts that this is true as far as healing goes. All right? Because it is. I remember I spent in years. Anybody else? I mean, I sought out faith and believing God because I saw back in the old days, I want to say in the late 80s and early 90s, people were getting healed. They were going to these conferences, and these teachers teaching faith were teaching. And I mean, miracles were happening. People were getting healed, and because my body was a wreck. I mean, really a wreck. And I was in pain and hurting all the time, every day, all the time. I'd wake up in the mornings and go, before I open my eyes, I'd go, what's wrong with me today? Because there was always this list of stuff. My body was broken down, sick, diseased, really dying. So I tried to grab a hold of my healings by faith. And it wasn't working. And it wasn't working because my heart was not convinced that I was healed because I didn't couple it with the understanding of God's grace to me. That it's not something I had to earn. It's not something I had to work for. It's not something that was on me, which I'd been trying to accomplish all my life to that point. When I began to understand God's grace and how the heart worked, the continual heart attacks that I was having spiritually were being removed one by one by one the more I understood grace and how the heart works. Okay, that's the introduction for the series. So our hearts need to be convinced, not our heads, but our hearts, that healing is real, healing is true, and healing is now. Right? So we need to be dealing with and speaking to and convincing our hearts of the truth and the reality of the Word. No more heart attacks. Can you say that with me? No more heart attacks.
No more heart attacks.
I'm not having it. The blockages are removed. My heart is being convinced of the truth of the Word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start with what a hardened heart is. Some of you have understood this and known, but we need to be refreshed on what a hardened heart is. All right? In order to deal with the blockages that cause the heart attacks to us spiritually and hinder our hearts from believing and hinder our hearts from being convinced is hardness. Hardness. We harden our hearts toward God, toward His Word, toward the move of the Holy Spirit, toward the release of divine power. We harden our hearts according to what's happened in our life, according to our circumstances going on right now around us, according to our own failures, according to the words that are spoken over us and been like we've been commissioned negatively. We harden our hearts according to what we have felt regarding rejection, the hurts, the pain, the judgments that we have made, the wrong accusations that we have made about people, because it comes back on us. We harden our hearts by pride. Now I'm talking about our spiritual hearts, remember? By self-sufficiency. I used to be proud of my self-sufficiency. I don't need nobody to help me, no how, no way. I did this. And that affected every area of my life. Made it hard to receive God's grace. There are other issues that harden our hearts. Sin will harden your heart. Doctrine, typical differences in doctrine that place it on you to see your healing happen. Guilt, condemnation, shame, and more. All these areas, all these arenas are what harden our hearts, our spiritual hearts toward God, and really instill these blockages that require heart surgery for us, spiritual heart surgery. And they cause us heart attacks, spiritual heart attacks, which keep us from receiving. Okay? So our hearts are not convinced because of these areas of the fact that we are healed by Jesus' stripes already. Done and complete. What is hardened? What does it mean? In the Greek and in the Hebrew, this is pretty simple. You got to understand, we're talking about the spiritual heart. When we say we harden our hearts, what do we mean? Anybody? You all know?
Unresponsive.
Unresponsive. That is absolutely the results of it. Yep.
Don't really believe what it says.
Don't believe what it says. It's a symptom. Yep.
We don't trust.
That's a symptom. Yep. What a hardened heart is, this is what we do. Okay. When we harden our hearts toward God because of any of those circumstances or issues or areas that I've spoken about already, when we do this, What we do literally in the Greek is we make our hearts stupid. You say, heart, you're stupid. I'm going to make you stupid. Have you ever watched something or seen something like on television? We don't watch television, Rosie and I. But when we did, you could watch television and you think, okay, Lord, help me say this in an effective and a non-condemning way. You see things on television and the marketing going out on television with the advertisements or even the television shows, and they are absolutely stupid. There's nothing in them that is of any value at all. And the shows, you know, I would talk to people all the time because I worked out in the workplace for most of my life. You talk to people and it's like they're enjoying and it's like you can watch them. I've watched them over the years get dumber. They get dumber. They get made stupid by what they're feeding on. This is what we do when we harden our hearts. We are making our heart dumber by hardening it, okay? And in the Hebrew, it means to be petrified. You ever seen a piece of petrified wood, petrified? It's just like a rock. I mean, it's the same as a rock you can hold. You can't do anything to it. You can't get through to it. It's got no substance because it's petrified all the way through. So we either, when we harden our hearts, we make our hearts stupid or petrified or both. Causes the blockages in the flow of God's grace that keep us from receiving simply healing. Okay? There's nothing out of the box. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too great. I don't care if you're missing an arm and a leg. God wants us restored. What he made us to be. He wants us to live long, satisfied, fulfilled, healthy lives. And he's given it to us. But it's up to us to recognize and deal with those blockages in our spiritual hearts. That's why, see, our hearts have been convinced to not believe. Our hearts have been dumbed down. Our hearts have been hardened by all those things that I read. Okay? All those circumstances I brought up. All those issues. And we, because God hasn't done it, but we have hardened our hearts toward him and toward his word. It is that simple. Ready to start unplugging? Yes. There's a lot more in this. This is big because we could spend a long time on only being hardened to the Lord and to his word for us. If you beat a dog, anybody ever had a dog? You got a dog? Anybody? Yeah. I loved my dog. When I had a dog, I loved my dog. But I've known people that haven't been so nice to their animals. If you beat a dog long enough, that dog will harden toward you, right? Right? We all know this. Take the emotions out of it, the sadness. I want you to see the facts. You're doing the same thing to your heart. This is a perpetual and continual hardening that we do that creates these blockages to receiving. We're beating on our hearts over and over and over again. And our heart, remember, our heart has a mind of its own. In a sense, is hardening. And we're doing it. Now you understand this now, and you're beginning to see the scope of how this works. Not everybody does. But it's important that we see this. All right, you ready for some roto-rootering?
Yes.
Want some spiritual stents put in? Some vascular surgery in here to get rid of the blockage? We've got 3 weeks of this. So let's talk, okay? Let's start with the first one, and I can tell you story after story after story on this, but religious legalism. religious legalism comes out of, it'll harden your heart in a minute. Anybody want to describe what it is? What is religious legalism?
Miracle signs and wonders stopped at the end of the Apostles' Age.
Yeah, that's part of it. What is religious legalism? Come on, you grace people. Honey?
If I'm perfect and do everything right, then God will bless me and heal me.
If I'm perfect, do everything right, He will bless me and He will heal me. That was a key statement. If I do everything right according to be good and right with God, then He will heal me. He will bless me. That is a horrible misappropriation of the word of truth. Because the way that it works is, by grace you were saved through faith, Ephesians 2 verse 8, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? It's a gift. It's not based on you. It's not based on your goodness. It's not based on how well you've done. It's not based on what happened in your past or where you're at right now. Because healing is given to you. Actually, healing is given to the whole world. And the whole world ain't saved, are they? Anybody got an atheist healed? You ever done that? I have, lots of them. Atheist! Are you kidding me? What did they ever do? Nothing. They received what Jesus Christ has already given. This still doesn't mean they're saved. It means that God's will and God's word produces fruit because they believed. That was all. Now, religious legalism, I'm going to spend a minute on this because it's insidious. It is sneaky, dirty, rotten, horrible, ungodly stuff. It's what Jesus condemned the Pharisees for because it kept people out of heaven. It kept people out of the knowledge of God and out of relationship. This dirty, stinking, religious legalism. There was a couple who came to our church and they came from a very legalistic teaching church. Born again, love the Lord. She had cancer. And I can't tell you how many times this has happened in our church in the 10 years we've been going. Came from a legalistic church that taught you have to be doing right. You have to live right, do right. You got to follow the rules. You got to follow the regs. You got to do the law. You got to follow the Ten Commandments in order to gain your healing. It's on you. It's not on Jesus. It's not on what He did already. There was a major heart blockage in her that needed heart surgery. She came, they came, and she got the word, and she began to get the light bulbs begin to come on that, well, this isn't on me. And cancer's no big deal. And then she said, one day after two times coming in, now, they weren't part of our church, which is, this is open to anybody, right? She said, we can't leave our church. We need to be under this church. We need to be in this teaching. We agree with this for healing. But we need to be where we're at. And I said, Lord, am I supposed to say anything else to them? And He said, no. He said, they're getting what they want. She died. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen this happen because people come in and they want to understand this message of God's grace and they want their healings and they want their prosperity and they want their deliverance and their freedom and they want to be able to live above instead of beneath. And yet they say, I'm going to go back to my church that teaches religious legalism and it's not based on Jesus Christ anymore, it's based on me. And all the onus for your healing goes back to you in religious, legalistic atmospheres, and you hear that, and the blockage continues, and your heart hardens, and you don't receive, and you wonder why. That's what religious legalism does. It's I hate it. Can you tell? I hate it for the destruction that it causes people, because I was in it too. It was one of the reasons I could not receive healing, because I was assured I had to get saved every week because I sinned. And I was always losing my salvation. At least that's what I was taught. That was a lie. That was religious legalism saying you got to live right or you're a failure and you've lost. Religious legalism, that is not the Word of God. Okay, I better get going here, huh? Here's the next one that hardens our heart and begins to build blockages within us that really gives us a heart attack, okay, spiritually. And that is perpetual. Do you know what I mean by perpetual? What does perpetual mean?
Ongoing.
Ongoing. It's a continuous thing, right? Perpetual, willful, like on purpose. Continual sin. Whoa, you can't talk about sin in a grace church. Oh, yeah, you can. Does sin have an effect on our lives? If we continue to stay in sin, whatever that might be, sin is literally missing the mark of God's righteousness. But it's saying that, you know, I can live in rebellion to God willfully and continually and perpetually. I can live like that, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Well, guess what? Sin has consequences. I mean, not only are there external consequences that come to us through sin, you're going to go out and commit adultery. Guess what? You're probably going to get divorced. If you go out and you... Oh boy, there's so much we could say, isn't there? And you do it because you want to do it, you want to keep doing it, and you don't care. It's like, I healing's mine, right? I'm under grace, I'm not under the law. I can live whatever I want to live. Well, Paul addresses this in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7. But what I want to say to you is, sin has consequences. God's not mad at you. If you stay in sin, He's not mad, not upset. It's for us and the consequences that come into our lives that hurt. It hardens our hearts toward God. Do you know righteousness and living righteously softens our hearts towards God? I'm not talking about because we have to, which is religious legalism, but because we want to. We desire to. Because we love Him. Because He loves us. Because He's given us so much. That's what this, how this works. It's relational. But continued perpetual willful sin, because it's kind of like, you know, the cross doesn't matter is what happens. Not that big a deal. Your hearts, or our hearts, people's hearts, harden toward God. Does it make it hard to receive healing? Sure. Creates a blockage, a hardness in our hearts. When Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, He said, listen, nobody's condemning you. I'm not going to condemn you. This is John chapter 8. I don't have time to go into all the details. He says, I'm not condemning you. That's not what I'm here for. Not why I came. Doesn't condemn us either. But He says, go and sin no more, because it's hurting you. All right? And that's what happens with us. It hurts us. And one of the ways it really hurts us, again, is hardens our heart. All right. Oh, have I got time for this, Lord? Let's go into a sense of worthlessness. If you have a sense of worthlessness in your life, you feel worthless. I'm a worthless human being. I used to declare this over my life. I'm worthless. You know, that's a big statement. To say that you're worthless, or to feel or understand that you're worthless because you have no value. You have no value. It doesn't matter if you live or die. This is partly where suicide comes from. I'm going to put an end to this worthlessness that I feel, or this misery that I feel. I'm worthless. I have no value. Do you know what that means? That means God overpaid for you. Right? What Jesus did on the cross, that means Jesus overpaid for you and who you are. Did Jesus overpay for your life? Did he? Did he overpay? This is not a trick question. Did he overpay? Yes or no?
No.
No. So what Jesus' death and burial and resurrection on the cross did and said to you is that you were worth the price paid. And it was a heavy price. You were worth it. When we live in a sense of worthlessness or valuelessness, we're subject, to heart attacks because of the pluggage in that flow in our hearts. Our heart is convinced we're worthless instead of we're valuable. We had, Rosie and I had a friend who was a doctor, and I did some counseling with him. And he had, he was born into a Jewish family, and he loved the Lord. He got born again, he loved the Lord. He had a tremendous amount of problems with his knees. He couldn't bend down, at all. He was in a lot of pain for a long time. And here's what happened. He heard the message of God's grace over and over, just as much as we did. He saw miracles, but he couldn't receive himself because he was having heart attacks because his sense of value wasn't there. His family said, "You're worthless. You've got no value." He and I spent a couple of hours talking, doing some counseling. When he got the understanding of digging into his heart so his heart could get convinced of his value, and that's all we did. And we prayed and closed up, and I said, "Bend down." I didn't even pray for him. I didn't do anything with his knee. I said, "Bend down," or knees. And his eyes got big. He bent down and his eyes got big. And he said, "I got no pain. Everything works. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm healed. I'm whole." The sense of worthlessness blocked him. Blocked his heart from receiving the truth of his value. When the blockage was roto-rooted out, it just happened. That's the way God loves to work. That's what he has for us. All right, so what do you do? What do you do? Right? You got to start speaking to your heart. Consider your heart has a personality, your spiritual heart. All right? Consider it in the sense of it has its own mind. It isn't necessarily subject to your head. Right? They're not tied together. It has a mind of its own. You're going to start convincing your heart of the truth and start roto-rootering out those blockages. This is on you, not me. It's on you to begin. So here's your homework for this week. I can't go into the rest of it right now. Take three healing scriptures. Just three. And say, when you sit down with the Lord in your time, say, "Heart, we're going to have a talk. And I am speaking to you directly. And I want you to hear this and out loud read the word to your heart. Those three scriptures. Do that. That's your homework. And then start anticipating the blockages softening and being removed. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for this time. For the healings happening right here, right now. For the monstrous power of who you are and your presence taking place in bodies right now, because hearts are being made whole. Blockages are beginning to clear today in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.